have to kind of prepare this here. This is a little sticky, but how is everyone this new year? Can you hear me? Maybe I'm muted. Am I okay? Can you hear me? Hello? Good. Okay. Poor you. Your new year, was it good? Everybody have a good new year? Good to be in the house of the Lord today? I'm sure Brandon and Leah are trying to travel through some good weather, so to get to us. I know that they were a little bit concerned about getting home, but Kate is concerned about the weather as well because she's going away to Mexico, so we could keep praying for that. Is Frank Moore here? Frank? There you are, Frank. I just want to say congratulations to Frank Moore, who has been, yes, Citizen of the Year. Very true. It's a blessing for you, Frank. And we are praying for you, and we'll continue to pray for you and your family. But what an honor, and a suitable one at that. I want to share with you a bit about how you can have a healthy new year. Now, I was going to actually have a whole bunch of things up there about different exercise machines you could use, but then I would I'd probably have to start using them. And I thought, no, I don't want to go down that road because my exercise I believe in is walking to the car, getting in, driving to where I need to go, walking out of the car, getting into where I need to go. That's a considerable amount of exercise. No, I've started actually trying to exercise and keep up with my future daughter-in-law and my daughter as we do these workouts. You know, we do all these different things, and you know, and by the end, they're still going, and I'm like, oh, give me water, throw something on me. I mean, you know, so it's true, and they're laughing because they know it's true. But my friend, he took his nephew on one of his first ice fishing excursions. How many of you ice fish? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. So ice fishing, and just outside of Regina, how many of you know where Regina is? I just want to get your hands up. That's what I'm trying to do. Now, my friend is definitely he's a legendary ice fishing expert. I mean, at least he's a legend in his own mind. And so you know, he was scouting out just the right place to actually for him and his nephew to go for this wonderful experience. And he found this place. It was just a lake that he thought, well, this is going to be great. This is going to be a great experience for you. And so they get out of the car and to this wonderful place. And he thought, you know, no, there are ice fishers around. This is great. You know, this is really good. Giving this great experience, we're definitely going to get some fish, because there's nobody else around. And so my friend brought along his axe to chip the ice instead of the drill, because he wanted full experience for his nephew. And so when you chip the ice for ice fishing, now I hope I get this right. If I get it wrong, you all tell me, but this is what he said. You chip from far back, right, and you narrow it down. That's how you do it. You narrow the hole when you narrow the hole down. And so he was busy chipping and chopping and chipping and chopping, and his nephew was all excited, and he chopped, and he hacked, and he shaved away at the ice, and it was taking him a long time, and all the while he was so proud because nobody else was on the lake, and he knew that they were sure to get some prize pike, and so he kept chipping, and his nephew at one point was like, how long is this going to take before we can fish? And he reached that point where he was starting to get anxious, and my friend, he just kept chopping away, and all the while he was wondering, when am I going to hit water? And he just kept going and going. I thought, boy, this is deep ice. This is pretty thick, you know? And he worked up almost a sweat. And he's beginning to give up chipping through the ice when finally he hit it. Dirt. Interesting how we can think we're in the right place. Doing the right thing. Well, really, we've been in the wrong place all the time. And that can be like our relationship with God. We think we're doing well. We're doing great things. We have a healthy relationship that's alive with God. When really, we're just chopping away, heading to dirt. Nothing there. Got to get to the right place. Well, today we're going to look at a healthy new you for a new year. And I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read for you just one verse, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, now that means, when you have a therefore, it means it's what happened before. This is due to what happened before. And it talks before about that Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore we all died. It's about reconciliation and what Jesus did for us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, they are what? New. See, a healthy new you develops by choosing the new that Christ has for you. Choosing the new that Christ has for you. See, the Amplified Bible puts it this way: a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Everybody say amen. Because I tell you, that's good stuff. You need to know this, that is your position in Christ, your legal position in Jesus Christ, bought with the blood of Jesus. You may not be experiencing all that newness yet, but it's in you. It's in your spirit. It's in your spirit. You've been made a new creature. You're a new type of human being in Christ. God gives you a new heart. He puts His spirit within you. I love new stuff, don't you? That's why Christmas is so great. You get new shampoo. You remember Christmas Eve, you know, shampoo. I got to tell you about Christmas Eve. I'm digressing for a moment. But I got quite a few notes and letters and rebuts, actually, about Christmas Eve. Because I stood on the ladder a little bit too high. They all thought I was going to fall off and break my arm. But anyway, flashback for some of you. That's the old stuff. We're in the new. Isn't it good news to know that God comes to bring new things? New life, gives us a new heart, new name, puts a new song in our heart. God doesn't come with a bunch of old, stale stuff. But with God, you always have new. A new opportunity to start over. Because God is a God of restoration, and a God of transformation, and a God of restitution, and a God of new. He likes to renew. He likes to refresh. God brings revival. I'm so grateful that in God there's always a chance. Some people don't give you a chance, but with God you'll always get a chance. Always a new opportunity, always a new thing that God can change. See, in God, there's always a way that things can get better. There's always hope. The devil wants you to think that there isn't. The devil wants you to think that it's too late. The devil wants you to think that it's too late to change. You've gone too far. You've messed up too much. You've made too many mistakes. You're so messed up, you're beyond anything. The devil wants you to think that there's no help and there's no hope. But that's a lie. Because 2 Corinthians says and talks about Christ's love for us, that He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on it says, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. I think this concept about being a new creature is just awesome. Because if any person be in Christ, they are new. It says they get a brand new beginning. So we can change our whole life and the attitude of the people around us simply by changing ourselves. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind. I talked yesterday at the Teen Challenge Grad, and it was a great time. And I talked about conformity, and I said, you know, when you're conformed, it means somebody draws a little box and tries to cram you in it. That's kind of the way a lot of religions are. There's a box and we try to cram people into it. If you're going to come to church, got to do your hair this way. Got to wear your clothes, you know, just right. Got to behave in a responsible way. Got to look this, you got to look that, you got to do this, you got to do that. You can't have this to hang up, you can't have that to hang up, and so on, so forth, so on. We cram people into a box. It was great because, well, it wasn't great, but all the fellows were in their ties and shirt, and the one who was graduating, he had his shirt out, no tie. He stood up among the rest, and, you know, he's standing there. So I had him stand up at the end, and I said, I want you to turn to everybody. And he turned to everyone, and I said, it reminded me of Sesame Street, when one of these things doesn't belong here. One of these things is not the same. And I said, you, sir, are not the same. You're changed because of Jesus Christ. It's true. First thing you have to do is choose the new that Jesus Christ has for you. Believe that Jesus died for you. Believe that you can't help yourself. You've got to repent of your sins. Repent. Re means new. Re means reestablish. It means get it back together. Re, and then pent means like the penthouse, the highest position you can go. Pent. Go to the highest position you can by repenting of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and begin to rule and reign your life, and something new happens inside when you say, rule and reign in my life, Jesus. You may be a Christian for years, maybe not. But we all need transformation to occur at some point in our life in order to truly receive blessings that God has for our life. A new healthy you develops by choosing the new that Christ has for you. A healthy new you develops by capturing the new that Christ has for you. That means capturing it, means thinking. If you want to have what God has for you, wants for you, the first thing you've got to get rid of is your old thinking. You got to learn how to think a new way. You got to get rid of the old talk that comes out of your mouth. Learn how to talk a new way. Really, being a new successful Christian and having what God wants you to have is not as hard as the devil will make you think it is.
Well, I can't do that. I can't think. How can I change? Been stuck in this way for, well, in my case, not very long, but stuck in this way for a long time. I'm not perfect enough.
It's not about you being perfect. It's about letting God be God. It's about getting your mind renewed and learning about how to think differently. When you think different, you start talking differently. When you start talking differently, you start living differently. Amen? Remember, we used to gather as pastors in our denomination and the smaller community pastors, and we would gather together and basically encourage one another, lift each other up. And there's one pastor, didn't matter what you said, It was all negative. I mean, he went so far to say,
well, I'm a pastor of my church, he said, if somebody new comes, I tell him, go to another one. And they said, well, why should I go to another church? I want to be here. No, you won't get anything from my church. You know, and then he'd say, you know, if I could go somewhere else, I would go somewhere else. I said to him, why would you do that? Why would you say that to a young family who's coming to your church?
He said, well, that's how I think. I think rationally. He said, I play out all the bad stuff in my mind and it comes out of my mouth. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes God cannot do anything with us or for us or through us just because we're slumped in negativism. It's amazing what will happen in your life if you just decide to look at the brighter side. Believe the best, not the worst. Go to bed thinking about something hopeful, not some disaster. When you get up in the morning, don't think about everything wrong that may happen. Think hopeful thoughts. First thing out of your mouth every morning should be, God, I'm expecting something great is going to happen to me today. I'm expecting good news. I'm anxious to get up, God, and see what you're going to do for me today. Amen? That's why in Revelation, from cover to cover, that's what God says. He flatly covers everything. He says, behold, I make all things new. But we're living old. Do you know that God wants to bless you because you are his child? But you have to capture that new thinking that Christ has for you. God has newness for you. But you're too busy telling him what you want when he's got something great in store for you. And you wonder why God is not blessing you. Why this isn't working. Why that? I come to him and I pray and he's not listening to me. Wait a minute. What are you doing? Are you asking him for things to change around you when really he's trying to change you? We get so busy talking about God not delivering what we want in our life that we don't even spend time in prayer finding out what he does have in store for us. We need to capture the new things that Christ has for us. Now, for some, even here or by internet, you've been wallowing enough into stuff you shouldn't be. You've been thinking enough negative stuff, and I tell you, that comes straight from Satan himself. How long are you going to serve the devil? And when are you going to start living for God? I'll tell you, if you think about enough about your life, like, how do you think about your spouse? What are your thoughts about the church? What are you thinking about your friends? Your family members? Church leaders? Staff? What you think sooner or later will show up somewhere in your living. It will. And I'm going to let you in a little secret. If you leave with anything, leave with this today. God is not negative. God is not negative. So if you want what God wants you to have, you better start thinking like God thinks and talking like God wants us to talk. Learn how to think new. Learn how to talk new. This could revolutionize our lives. I really appreciated, permit me, Frank, please. I'm going to refer to a word that actually was written in Inga's Bible, and I need to refer to it. She said, what a great world this would be. Something along this line. What a great world this would be if we could easily forget about those things that trouble us as easy as we forget about the blessings of God. God has provided new things for you. But you've got to get rid of the old way of thinking and doing it. The patterns that you've developed, that you're excusing as, well, that's my personality. Stop it then. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, wait a minute, you can change. A friend of mine, I had one. All through school, he was always a critic. I mean, in art, I spent days. I mean, working on this wonderful piece of art called a Van Deven. It was a treasure in my mind. I mean, this is going to be worth millions when I'm dead. Didn't look like what I pictured for art, but it was there. That's how it's supposed to be. That's what art is. There it is. It's beautiful. What is it? I don't know, but it's beautiful. My teacher, Mrs. Noble, she came along and she said, "Absolutely mesmerizing, Devin." You see, my classmate, he took a look at it and he said, "You missed a spot right here." And then he said, "The creative element is lacking. You seem to have squalled the captivity of the piece." I mean, it didn't want, you know, whatever I did, it didn't matter. Mr. Perfect always had an answer. A critic. Playing football?
"You didn't grab the ball properly."
"Hey, I caught it. That's a blessing, man." "Playing the clarinet? I didn't hold the instrument properly." "You got to have your thumb like this." "I still hold it wrong. You know, I still hold it wrong." "You got to hold it down. No, come on, let me try." He became a Christian. I've been praying for him, and he became a Christian. I thought, wow. This guy's going to change. It's going to be different. You know what? He didn't change his thinking. He just changed what he became a critic of. And danger evolved.
"Well, I went to church today, and you know, they do it all wrong." "Did you know that? They do it all wrong?"
I said, "What?"
"Yeah, you know, the progression of the songs were right. Did you know they had a prayer mixed in there at the wrong time?"
And then I heard him, I mean, in the hallways, he would tell people this.
"Oh, yeah, I'm in a church. I don't know, I'm going to go around to all the churches and find out what's wrong with them." He said, "I don't think people read their Bibles enough, because it's all different. It should be this way. It should be a certain way." He said, "I don't think people really read their Bibles in the right position. They have to be properly positioned." He said, "They need to maintain a structure with their reading. 7 minutes, 10 seconds of Bible reading. 3.5 minutes of prayer, every 6 hours, 27 minutes and 4 seconds. He would tell you when it was okay to forgive someone, and when it was okay to hold resentment. Possibly when it would be okay to speak of anything else but God. He talked about God all the time when he was negative. He was absolutely annoying and highly judgmental over everyone. He always had an answer, but he was not always right. And his negative speaking spilt over to his negative thinking spilt over to his speaking. And it didn't stop when you came to know God. In fact, it did more damage for the kingdom of God when he did know Jesus. Because the devil had a heyday with his thoughts and with his speech. Satan will use a Christian in ways you can't even comprehend to prevent people from knowing Jesus. Get rid of some of those old habits and old responses to things. Satan knows every time how to push your buttons. He does. I mean, every time he does this, you're going to do that. Some of you need to start surprising the devil. Say, "I got a surprise for you, devil. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself anymore because I've gone to all the pity parties I've ever going to go to." "Well, what are you going to do then?"
"Well, I'm going to go and I'm going to find somebody that I'm going to bless." Because nothing bothers the devil more than doing right and blessing someone else. Being good to somebody. And that's why the Love One Another Project is so important, because you bless others. It's getting you out of this thinking into newness that Christ has for you. Did you know I used to have everything figured out all the time? I always wanted it all figured out. And I wondered why I couldn't sleep at night. Because I couldn't figure it out sometimes. I'd be tossing and turning. "I don't understand this. I don't get this. Why? God would say, "You know why? Because you don't trust me.
You're thinking about stuff you don't even need to think about, Dad. Because trust means the questions are unanswered. Trusting God means there is always going to be some unanswered questions in my life. But I would get kind of crazy because it would drive me crazy. And I still fight it. I still do. New thinking. I got to think. Yeah, I lost it last night. The wrong thinking again, and I lost it. I had to go and clean bathrooms till I got it again. Show me, say, what are you doing? Clean up bathrooms! You know? So I had this thinking that came out of my speaking. The old way. I had to embrace the new way of thinking. As long as the devil can use the same junk to steal your peace over and over and over again, he knows what he can use to steal your peace, your joy. And you need to find out what they are, and when those things happen, don't let it steal your peace anymore, and he'll quit doing it to you. I mean, what is the sense in losing your peace over something that you can't even do anything about? It's not going to change. I learned that the more peace I've got in here, the more I can deal with stuff out here. I always wanted peace around me, but I sure didn't have any peace inside of me. And so I made sure everything around me was peaceful. Got to keep it peaceful because I don't have it in here. And sometimes we wonder why we can't just take it anymore. It's because of what's going on in here. In here. Behold, everything is new. Say, I'm a new creature.
I'm a new creature.
Say, I need to think new.
Say, I need to talk new.
And I need to react new. Most of you didn't do the react. You went react. But it's okay. I'm sure you can think right now of at least one or two areas of your life where you need to start reacting in a new way. I mean, this thing about being a new creature, it's just totally awesome. If any person be in Christ, they are a new creature. Brand new. Brand new beginning. And God wants to bring a brand new transformation to your life. It's a new day. God's going to do a new thing to create a healthier you. Open up your thinking to bigger things. Believe God for bigger things. Don't be negative. Be positive. Begin to let God do the work that he wants to do in your life. And that's why we give you these. They're yours. These schedulers, these calendars. They're great because they have scripture reading in them, so you can't excuse yourself. And there's little thoughts and talks in each day. And then up in the corner here, there's different verses of scripture that you can read. Helps you along. And then there's a prayer focus. Like this one says, connect with God. Talk to him. Just you and God. And so you can sit and you can say, you know, God, I just want to talk to you about a friend I have. It says at the bottom, you and a friend, you know. So you can connect with God in prayer. It gives you little thoughts, little things that you can do every day. So you can start living a new, healthier you. Let's pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're thinking, wow, it's kind of tough today. It's okay for me to think rationally, isn't it? Well, talk to God about it. God, is it okay for me to be so rational that everything I see, everything I do, everything I speak, negative? Maybe you're saying, well, hey, I'm just a realist. Maybe you want to say, God, I'm just a realist, and
just noticing things. I'm just noticing behavior. I'm just noticing my family. Just being real. Let God speak to you. Maybe you go crazy just thinking through things. You know, you can't sleep at night. You've got to have things figured out. And God maybe is saying to you today, why don't you trust me for a change? Or maybe he's saying to God, I just want to be healthy this new year spiritually. God, I need to choose to capture what I think and what I say and what I do, and may it be for your glory only. Father, we have talked a lot today. We've studied in your word and seen it's because of Christ that we are new. I don't think we can even fathom that, God, but still you say, I come to bring the newness to you. For that we're thankful. You say, behold, I make all things new. Some of us, God, need a new start this year. We need a new start. And God, may we think right. May we speak right. May we do what is right. So that you are glorified this new year. May we remain obedient to you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now you're welcome to take one of these books. They're free.